What happens inside the Lyric Theater stays inside the Lyric Theater. That's what the producers of Harry Potter and the Cursed Child request from the audience. As you leave the theater, they hand you a button that reads, "Keep the secrets." I have no problem with the request. In fact, there are so many reveals and surprises in the two-part zigzag production that it's difficult to even remember them all. Heck, the show is so sprawling and complicated, I have difficulty remembering all the plot points. There's no question Harry Potter is a special treat for many people. However, the question is how special? After two shows running 2.5 hours each at a top ticket price of $199, is it worth your time and money? Only you can make that decision. But if you love the books or the films, I guess the answer would be yes. The play, written by Jack Thorne from a story by J.K. Rowling, is like an elixir to Harry Potter zealots. If you are only a fan, it is merely a champagne toast. Revisiting the core group, you learn that Harry married Ginny, Ron Weasley's younger sister. Ron married Hermione Granger, and they have a daughter, Rose, who is headed off to Hogwarts with Harry's son. The first act of the first show takes great pains to establish personal relationships and their history. In a story about the consequences of time tinkering, there are a lot of flashbacks showing how Harry lost his parents, was raised by harshly indifferent relatives, and found his identity and purpose as a wizard at Hogwarts. It's a feast of riches for Harry Potter lovers. However, for me, a person who deserted the novels about halfway through and saw but one film, the answer of worth is not really. Except for the dazzling technical aspects of the production, I was put off by the long, complicated, and exceedingly dark story that has little apparent moral value. Except to state the obvious, children need nurturing parents in order to become healthy adults. This moral is made through the conflict between a now 38-year-old Harry and his son, Albus, who is heading off to his first year at Hogwarts. Albus is resentful, as he knows at school he will live in his father's shadow. At Hogwarts, either to spite his father or through fate, Albus becomes best friends with Scorpius Malfoy, the son of Draco Malfoy, Harry's bitter enemy. The two team up with Delphi, who reveals herself to be the niece of Amos Diggory, who is now living at St. Oswald's home for old witches and wizards. Amos hates Harry and blames him for the death of his son Cedric, which happened in Book 5. The friends decide to steal a time turner and go back in time to right a wrong. As everyone knows, that's never a good idea. And true to all prophecies, whatever can go wrong does go wrong. Also true to bad ideas, if one return to the past is a bad idea, a second would be terrible. An impactful result is a scene reminiscent of A Wonderful Life, in which we get to see a world that would have been if Harry Potter had never existed. To give a hint, and hopefully not to reveal a secret, the first play ends with everyone celebrating Voldemort Day. This synopsis, or tiny portion of the show, should illustrate a couple of things. The story is complicated, and it's really important to have a grasp of what took place in the novels. Making appearances are characters like Hagrid, Bane the Centaur, and Professor Snape. They seem to appear mostly because loyalists might be comforted by their inclusion. There are also a number of references to characters, places, and incidents that, though unfamiliar to me, drew a reaction from segments of the audience. As wonderful as were J.K. Rowling's contributions to contemporary mythology, no one ever denied that her writing could be served by judicious cutting. The same is true to the stage play. It is filled with fat and indulgences. Even some special effects seem to exist simply to elicit awe from the audience. Padding special effects is unnecessary because there are awes aplenty from effects that serve the play in a fun way. Brooms levitating, flames shooting out from wands, people being uplifted and hurled across the stage, and scenery that inspires the imagination are a feast for the eye. Indeed, technically, the entire production is splendid. I was especially in awe of the gorgeous, evocative lighting designed by Neil Austin. The acting is so good that it appears easy. However, each actor finds the firm, stoic nature that defines every character. Sadly, the overwhelming earnestness all becomes dulling. Except for a refreshing performance by Anthony Boyle as Scorpius, there is little personality on display within the characters. Harry Potter and the Cursed Child is at the Lyric Theater in New York City and is likely to remain there for a very, very long time. This is Bob Geffert from the Troy Record.